Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, Certified Financial Professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, as well as on the WDIY listening app. Today is January 29th, 2025. The markets were down today, with the Dow closing at 44,713, the NASDAQ at 19,632, and the S&P at 6,039. Tonight, I'm talking about community enrichment with Project of Easton. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Cindy's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Questions are also available to be submitted through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So this evening, as mentioned, I'm talking about community enrichment with Project of Easton, Director of Development, Keith Lampum-Perlman. Welcome to the show, Keith. Keith, could you first please introduce yourself?
Sure.
Let us know how you landed here, and then talk about Project of Easton for a little bit.
Well, that may take some time, how I landed here, Lori. I have the most nonlinear path to the Lehigh Valley mm-hmm. of anyone that I know. Mm-hmm. But I'm surely happy to be here, and I was very excited to have met you at the Women United event. Just a shout out to you. That was an evening that was in honor of you. So it was gracious mm-hmm. of you to come up and shake my hand afterwards. And we certainly have become closer since then. So I'm grateful to be here. My name, like you said, is Keith Lampum-Perlman, and I'm pleased, a bit proud actually, to be Project of Easton's Director of Development. And Project of Easton is the reason why I moved to the Lehigh Valley. Actually, I should say the mission of Project is the reason I moved here. Mm-hmm. And Project's mission is to build a better community by helping people help themselves. And when I heard the whole helping people help themselves, I thought, wow, that's how I really want to live my life. That's how I try to live my life, mm-hmm. and for a long time now. So mm-hmm. One thing led to another, and here I am.
Wonderful. And it's wonderful to feel that empowerment for people, to help them empowering themselves, and that if you could be part of it, it's just wonderful.
Exactly. That's what we do. Project's been in existence since 1968. And so it's actually a couple of years younger than I am, believe it or not, already. But Project does six distinct yet integrated programs, and each of them is designed to help people help themselves, mostly by we break down the barriers towards that end of helping people with things such as English as a second language, earning their GED so that they can then go out into the community, the entire Lehigh Valley actually, and become, you know, feel better about themselves, become empowered to be the best they can be for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's a win-win for our communities as well as those that we serve.
Right, which is why I think it's important to also recognize this as part of your financial choices, because we're always talking about how financial stability gives people options. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. So you're not only helping empower people, but they're in turn giving back to the community, contributing in the community, but also learning ways to empower themselves and have options because of financial stability, which you're giving them. Can you talk a little bit about how Project of Easton started? And then I would love to hear a little bit about the staff and sure. the recent changes, because when I visited, mm-hmm. it was like a beehive. I mean, I was so excited to see the energy and the passion and the excitement of not just the people who were attending there and taking advantage of the services that were being offered, but the staff as well. Yes. I mean, I was so impressed.
It's an exciting staff. Thank you for recognizing that. And I think I said that on the day that you toured Project, but we really do have an exciting group of people. It's led by a woman by the name of Kim Chekai, and Kim is our executive director, and she's been there about 4 months longer than I have, which is about a year and 2 months. So she's been there about a year and a half, a little over that. And we have a leadership team that includes Kim, Emery Owens, Aaron Roman, who's director of all of our programs, Emery's director of finance, and Tanya Dean is our director of administration. So it's a lean leadership team, but we like to think, I like to think that we're as effective as can be. And you're right, there is always a buzz there. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I leave there, you know, it's not just the coffee that I drink all day. it's really fun. It's there's a lot going on. And the fact that we're able to help people help themselves, and we keep that at the forefront of our minds. You know, mm-hmm. if one of us is, you know, just thinking, you know, they're a bit overwhelmed, like I sometimes am, you know, just with so much to do and, you know, seemingly not enough help. You know, that's how mm-hmm. all of us, most of us live, you know, we'll remind each other why we're there. Mm-hmm. We're there for the mission to help people help themselves. And it makes everything just that much better and get you through the day. And
so how did that mission start?
Actually, it started in 1968 by a group of three people. And it was a person who was Protestant, a person who was Jewish, and a person who was Catholic. And it was in 68, it was soon after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And these three men got together. And back then, that was considered extremely diverse mm-hmm. to have these three different religions come together in order to help the community. And ever since then, you know, we have been in existence. And I like to think we're a strong, yet, like I said, very lean and efficient organization, nonprofit, 501c3. And it's really quite amazing how that came together. But it did come together straight after the Martin Luther King Jr. assassination to bring the community together for a common purpose, and that's to lift up everybody. Mm-hmm. Particularly the most vulnerable among us.
And has it always been at the location it is now?
It has been, yes. We actually, since we were founded, we lease some of our space from St. John's Church, the large brick church. There's a huge complex with a large parking area.
In Easton?
In Easton, on 320 Ferry Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually, a couple of decades ago, we purchased what's called the Fowler Literacy Center that you were able to tour the day that you came. And that's where an awful lot happens there, all of the education and literacy and things like that. So,
well, we're going to talk about why the more recent changes and the future outlook for Project and the goals that you have when we come back, and talk about some of the programs as well, that it's important for the community to understand these services are available as well. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Thank you to all of WDIY's generous sustaining members. Setting up an automatic monthly gift on your credit card is the easiest way to support your listening and ensure WDIY remains a strong and thriving public resource. Become a sustaining member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4. or visit WDIY.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. I have with me this evening Keith Lampum-Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton, and we're learning more about the programs available there. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. So, Keith, you've mentioned that you're fairly new to Project of Easton, mm-hmm. as well as Kim Chekai, and can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
There must have been a recent change in,
oh, sure.
in leadership, and Janice may have retired, I think.
Janice did retire.
Yes.
After Janice's retirement, I think the board went out and did a search and were fortunate to find Kim Chekai, who is our executive director, and then Kim started her journey with Project and began by creating and building up the leadership team that is there now, those that I mentioned earlier, the four of us, five including Kim. And I never want to forget that, you know, we have an entire staff of 23 or 24 people at any time. We have a case manager for each of our six distinct yet integrated programs. And we have a huge collection of volunteers. Our food pantry, by the way, is run by one paid person, one case manager, and the rest are between 50 and 60 volunteers at any given mm-hmm. time. It's really incredible. But Kim came and created this leadership team. And what we did all throughout last year was we were working under the, I always call it an umbrella, a marketing umbrella. And that umbrella was honoring our history and transforming our future. And I like to think that Kim's team is part of that transformation. We are the transformation, I hope. But at the same time, I want to definitely pay tribute to those that brought us to where we were when Kim started. So mm-hmm. that's the honoring our history part of that.
Mm-hmm. And so the transforming the future, I'm going to be very curious to hear what's entailed in that. But shall we talk about some of the programs first and why this is important?
Sure. One of the things, and I'm certain I told you because I've come down with this narrative now after doing, I did 89 distinct tours in less than 11 months. And I can superlatively say that each person or group that left that specific tour said that they did not know of one, at least one, of our six programs. So it's mm-hmm. it's really incredible. We do English as a Second Language, an early childhood learning center we have, adult education, a family literacy program. We have two school-based programs, the food pantry that I mentioned. I sound like I'm rattling. And one more, we have the emergency assistance program.
And what is the Sizzle program?
Sizzle is one of our two school-based programs. And that's
okay.
a lot of fun, yeah.
Okay.
That is a six-week program that begins about the end of the school year, and it helps people, the youngsters, the K through five, who are most at risk of what a layman like me in education would call the summer slide. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the teachers refer to it as that also.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than have these children, if they're at or below the standard reading levels, they will come, be enrolled, you know, referred to us by the guidance counselors and the teachers and everyone at the Eastern Area School District. And they'll come to the program, and hopefully we'll make, and I know that we do because I've witnessed it, we make learning fun and make them, you know, choose to read, not mm-hmm. have to read.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the day, it may have been called, you know, summer school.
Mm-hmm.
We've created a program that is a summer camp, so the children actually look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have things like we've got one of our board members, you know, I have to do a shout out to our board of directors also, but we have one of our board members who's a state trooper, And so one year, the Pennsylvania helicopter landed,
oh,
and
wow.
the kids just go crazy. And, we had the canine unit there this year, and that was fun to watch. Talk about Kim Chekai was so excited because she loves dogs and was having so much fun and with the canine unit there. And the children just go crazy for
the animals.
Well,
what a wonderful way for the community members to become involved as well. And what the police force might not even realize is they may inspire some of those youngsters to eventually want to become a police officer. Do other professions in the community come in?
Oh, yes. We have all different kinds of people come in all the time. We have a whole community relations person. Her name is Morgan McKay. She works very closely with me in development, and she brings in community partners to do all kinds of different seminars and programs, and we'll work with anyone that's appropriate for us to work with regard to helping people help themselves and bringing knowledge to them and. Mm-hmm. Giving them the opportunity to evolve and grow. And
because I think when I was visiting, too, wasn't there was like a, I think it was a job placement or something that was happening at the same time. They were
absolutely.
Doing interviews.
Sure.
I forgot who it was that was there.
Well, we have several different, many organizations come to our job. We have job fairs.
Job fair.
We help people. We have a whole lot of school youth program and all different kinds of people involved that that bring people together so that our students have an opportunity that they may not otherwise have to be put in front of employers who are looking for people that have recently earned their GED. Mm-hmm. And I should definitely mention that we are we're a certified Pennsylvania testing site for the GED examination. So mm-hmm. That in and of itself is a barrier breaker mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't realize because, imagine just to be coming in, you're learning English as a second language. Okay, you master that, so then you become bilingual. Then you go into the GED program and you start basic, intermediate, advanced. I'm simplifying everything, mm-hmm. obviously, for the sake of the time. But you don't want to be sent to, a big building in. But if you're from East, you don't want to come all the way to Allentown, go to a big building, or you don't want to go to Harrisburg or Philadelphia to have to take your examination. So that we're a certified testing site. So where you learn, there are 30 computers.
It's so much more mm-hmm. comfortable, and then they're not stressed out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes a big difference in test taking.
You get it, Lori. It's another barrier breaker.
Mm-hmm.
So they can sit right. There are four distinct computers that are from the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And, we have certified proctors. And so the people that have learned enough to sit for the different parts of the GED examination itself can take the exam right there.
So do people have to go through your program in order to take the exam there? Do you know?
I actually don't know the answer to that question. I'm going to find that out.
But typically they're going through
a
program at the Project of Easton in order to take the GED.
Definitely.
You help them get through that.
And that's a great question. I was wondering what would happen if you asked a question that I do not know the answer to, and I'm going to find that out. So that'll be an interesting
We'll have to do
question
that.
To ask. We have
We had a caller call in with a question off air. So when we come back from our break, we will answer that question.
Okay.
We are talking with Keith Lampman Perlman. I switched it. From Project of Easton. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week. with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11 offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus Swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking with Keith Lampum-Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton. And we're talking about the programs that are offered there, their mission, helping others help themselves. And we had a caller call in with a question, Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Thanks, Carolyn, for calling in. Her question was, do any of the programs involve Nurture Nature Center about environmental awareness? Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with Nurture Nature in as much as a friend. Now, don't forget that the friends I've met are no more than 14 months old in the Lehigh Valley. But the Nurture Nature Center, I do know Kim Kimetz, so I could do a shout out to her. Project of Easton will work with, you know, many different other nonprofits. We play very, very nicely with other nonprofits, and that's one of the things that Kim really ensures we all are conscious that we're all working to help the community and build itself up, build each other up. And so the Nurture Nature Center may be a place where we could have a field trip in the future or something like that. We've worked, our youngsters certainly have gone to the Da Vinci Center and Crayola, things like that.
Wonderful.
They're all supporters. So I know the Nurture Nature Center, but I know Kim Kimetz has gone there, and she's been very helpful to us. And I would call her a project ambassador because she's been certainly on a tour and knows about Project of Easton for years.
Wonderful. So. Thanks, Carolyn, for calling in with that question. Well, why don't we start? Let's review the programs again. Mm-hmm. And I know we've already talked about the GED to some extent, but let's start with the youngest of programs. So you mentioned that there is school-based programs, but I think when I was there, I also saw there were little tiny ones, or could be tiny little ones. And that might not be a program, but a support for the adults who are learning. So maybe start there and what the different programs
are. You certainly did pay attention, Lori. I'm excited. And that really was fun. And that's called the Early Childhood Education Center. And what we always stress with people, particularly on a tour, is that it is not a daycare. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we take care of children 3 months old to 5 years old. So the three-month-olds are being kept warm and well and, you know, comfortable. Obviously, they're not learning a heck of a lot at 3 months old. Even I know that. But people love to go and see our Early Childhood Education Center, and it is a certified childhood education center, Early Childhood Education Center, and we receive EITC credits for that, which is very important and apropos to a financial show like this.
Educational improvement tax credits.
Yes.
I'm familiar with
them,
yes.
So,
and that's to help support the adults who are, it's outside of that.
We have two programs that are EITC, or Education Improvement Tax Credits, approved. And one would be the pre-K or the Early Childhood Education Center. We're approved to have someone or corporations, a lot of times the banks give us money through the EIT tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them. The other program is, besides the ECE, is the Summer Sizzle Program.
Okay.
So that's heavily funded by EITC credits. People love that, corporations in particular, although certain individuals are able to qualify for giving mm-hmm. money through EITC. And I'm told, I'm certainly not an expert in EITC finances yet, but that if you commit to giving 2 years in a row, it's basically a 90% tax credit straight off the bottom line.
On your Pennsylvania tax return.
Yes. So it's exciting. So people that give, $1,000, they can get $900 back in their taxes. And, you know, we get the $1,000.
Right.
And it only costs them $100.
Right. It's in coordination with Harrisburg, with the state.
Yes.
And corporations and even individuals are welcome to participate in certain programs where they can be part of a partnership, mm-hmm. so to speak. Years ago, when it first started, it really was businesses doing mm-hmm. that commitment. And it's really diverting their tax dollars to educational programs.
Exactly.
And many, educational facilities in the state have taken advantage of this opportunity mm-hmm. by working with corporations and or individuals who are interested in supporting their educational mm-hmm. efforts through those programs, the EITC. And they may be called different things depending on who's sponsoring it or supporting it. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, you think for Pennsylvania, if you're someone who's working or corporation business has $10,000 of taxes, you could say, I'm going to make $10,000 donation to this organization. If I commit for 2 years, as you said, we get a 90% tax credit. So I give $10,000, I would get a $9,000 tax credit on my tax return. Now, as an individual, you got to have a fair amount of income to get that kind of credit, but it doesn't have to be $10,000. It could be, as you said, $1,000. Mm-hmm. And you're really mm-hmm. Kind of earmarking some of those tax dollars that would go mm-hmm. toward education.
And that's interesting.
The difference is a charitable deduction, but some people don't itemize anymore. So
that's right. With the standard deduction so high,
right.
Many people don't deduct
right, right.
their charitable donations, but this is a way that they can
still be
maximize.
Charitable.
Yes.
Right.
And I will tell you one thing that I'm learning, because after 35 years in the nonprofit environment or world, I did not know about EITC until I got to Project of Easton. So
I'm still learning. It's been around for a long time. Right.
And both we are, like I said, our two programs are qualified. The ECE is one and the Summer Sizzle. So we're on a list that's approved by mm-hmm. the Pennsylvania.
To get some of those dollars.
Yeah, we have to,
That's wonderful. So the what was the program called first for the tiny ones under five?
What's Early it? Childhood Education
Early
Center.
Early Childhood Education Center. Mm-hmm. So there is some educational element to that as well.
Absolutely.
And then the Sizzle program is the kind of the summer, quote, camp program
yes.
that keeps the students from kind of the summer slide.
Exactly.
And how many students can you take in the Sizzle program?
We're redoing that now, but we commit to 100. And
oh, wow.
Last year we had 142 children in the Summer Sizzle program.
Wow.
But our grants, you know, what I put down in our grants is we commit to 100 children.
But you had 142?
Yes, last year.
Now, do you have applications for more spots than you can accommodate?
We don't have necessarily, because right now what we're doing is working with the school system. So we take children that they recommend, like I said, that are at or below standardized reading levels.
Oh,
or
perfect.
The normal, what you would call normal reading levels.
So you're supporting the kids who need that extra support, not necessarily the kids who are already flourishing.
Yes, that's true.
That's the goal. Probably.
That is the goal. And we have people that come in there. We had a couple, Dr. and Mrs. Stanley Walker, I can tell you, Stanley and Judith Walker, very kind couple. They came in and they helped with, well, they also sponsored our graduation this year, but they, which is another thing we could speak about, but they came into Summer Sizzle and handed out a backpack that was filled with back-to-school supplies for each of those 142 children.
Oh,
and they
goodness.
Handed them out to each one themselves.
Oh,
we have photos
wonderful.
Of it all over our website.
That's wonderful.
Kind
well, we can talk more about
Thanks.
That as we go. Folks, we're at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking with Keith Lampen-Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can talk on air with us, or if you're not comfortable talking live, just give your question to Cindy and she'll write it down. I'm talking with Keith Lampum Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton, and talking about the wonderful programs they have in the community to enrich those who are or to help others help themselves.
Exactly.
So some great programs. So we've touched on some of the school-based programs, which are funded through the Educational Improvement Tax Credit Program, EITC. And do you have information on your website regarding that? Are you aware of that? Or is that?
I have information. So if people wanted to go to our website, which is projecteaston.org.
Projecteaston.org.
Or they can email me at klp@projecteaston.org.
Okay.
They're most welcome to give me an email.
If
or
they need more information.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have all that.
Okay, so we're going from the youngest on up. So we talked about the little ones. We've talked about the Sizzle program. Did I hear you say that you also had some type of a program focused with middle school?
We do. Actually, right now we're in the sixth grade for the Eastern Area School District. And that's called Student Success Program, or SSP.
Okay.
And that's quite an exciting program. So we have a person that goes into the classrooms and actually works with students, again, the entire sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does is, back in the day when I was in the late 80s, it would have been called DARE,
think.
That's how I describe it to someone that doesn't know about it. But it's, and I call it also, this is off script a bit, but I call it, making good choices.
Yeah.
Right now, one of the things that they deal with a lot more than this, but it's, how vaping is so dangerous for youngsters. And, maybe back when we were young, people would want to have a cigarette or, mm-hmm. That's how they were, being bad or doing whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's vaping. Well, we know how bad cigarettes are. I would dare say that we don't even know how bad vaping is long term. So that's one of the things that we work with in there. And just also, feeling, how are they feeling about themselves and self-esteem and all those different issues that, a sixth grader goes
it's
through.
It's wonderful. I actually had a flashback when you were saying that. It's the reason I don't smoke. It's because in sixth grade, someone had come in and talked to us about the dangers of smoking. And, they showed those videos, and I don't know how they showed them back then. It might have been a slideshow, but with someone smoking and then exhaling through a tissue, and you saw that it was black, and then they would show mm-hmm. images of these black lungs. So it really petrified me. Sixth grade is a very sensitive age,
I think it's
really important, too. Someone's talking to them about their feelings as well.
It's a pivotal age.
I kept a diary, and it really helped. Mm-hmm. But so that is part of the – is that part of the school programs as well?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the two school-based programs run by the same manager.
Okay.
So her name is Sarah Taylor.
Okay.
And that's another shout-out to her. She does a great job with Summer Sizzle and Student Success Program.
Oh, okay.
And I just got a shout out. I took a text while we're talking.
Okay.
So I have an answer to that question that I did not know.
Okay. And the question was, someone come to the to Project of Easton to take their GED test without having gone through your program?
And the answer is yes.
Oh, very good.
You know who got back to me? My colleague and friend and another director of Project of Easton, Erin Roman. Mm-hmm. She got back to me via text and said that, yes, we are a testing center for all. And I can hear her voice saying that to me right now. So
it's wonderful.
Yes.
And it's good for people in the community to know that.
It's good for me to know that.
Yeah. Well, if someone hasn't asked the question. So then we move from middle school and the Student Success Program. And is that when we then go into the adult education?
Yes. Now, there are several things. There are people that make come here and not know English. Mm-hmm. They may end up in the Lehigh Valley and not speak English. Mm-hmm. So we teach English as a second language.
So that's part of the adult education,
exactly.
English as a
and
second language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly, as well as family
literacy is
family
part
literacy.
Of that.
Okay. Yes. So those can be combined if they have children.
Okay.
And again, our ECE, I wanted to make sure that I mentioned, was the only children in our early childhood education center right now are children whose parents, mommy or daddy or both, are learning English as a second language or working towards their GED or another one of our programs at our Fowler Literacy Center.
Wonderful.
So that's very interesting and important for people to know.
Yeah, so that they get that support to be able to do that. So mm-hmm. if they say, I can't because I have a child.
Yeah, another barrier broken.
Yes.
We break down barriers.
Yeah, very good. How long do the programs last? Is it at one's own pace, or do they kind of go through a 6-week course or a 12-week course?
Oh, yes.
I don't know how it works.
There are a set number of weeks that they cycle, but the person would stay in the class for as long as it takes for them to get through it.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's a big support as well.
It really is. We try to do everything that we possibly can to break down the barriers to education and give them the confidence to sit for that exam or become bilingual.
So do they typically, if one of the barriers is a second language, mm-hmm. like English is a new language to them, they're going through an English as a second language program prior to the GED training, or simultaneously, or
you can do simultaneous learning, but you can do simultaneously. In fact, you witnessed one of the people that when you were honored at the Women United event, you witnessed a girl whose first name is Malu, I should say, a young lady,
uh-huh.
and she's a person that I think within a year. I may be off by a couple of months, but within a year, she earned both her bilingual status, so she went through our English as a second language program, as well as earned her GED.
Yeah, and so it was wonderful. And then she's on stage talking
mm-hmm.
In front
amazing?
Of a whole group of people. Yeah,
she really is amazing. And
so it's that confidence also that's getting built. It's mm-hmm. not just the skills,
yes.
It's the confidence.
Yes, because then she goes out and she can speak for us. And there's... I always say in fundraising, you know, development 101 kind of thing, fundraising 101, nobody tells your story better than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me to say, this is why, you know, you should invest in Project of Easton and mm-hmm. Those kinds of things, that's fine. But people, you know, innately think, well, that's his job.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone outside says, here's how I got through, here's how I landed my job at wherever, St. Luke's, at Victaulic, at mm-hmm. you know, all the one of the many, many factories that we have around here who are looking for entry-level positions very often. They love our GED students.
Oh, great.
And I like to think, Lori, that what we're doing is taking them from, we're allowing our students to go from our umbrella of care and services into somebody else's. So we have a formal partnership with someone like St. Luke's, mm-hmm. you know, healthcare. And they go in there, and it's not that we want to get them in there and have them be a, you know, an entry-level position forever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get into that system, and I'm just using St. Luke's as an example. But once they're in the St. Luke's network of care, then they can move up within there
mm-hmm.
because St. Luke's has, you know, health care and benefits, and one of the benefits is education. So they can then learn how to become... Many will start out becoming a phlebotomist or, you know, all kinds of techs. There's a radiology tech and all these kinds of things all the time. So it's very interesting.
It sounds wonderful, Keith. And we have a caller on line one. I believe we have, is it Callie? Callie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in. What is your question?
So I am a huge fan of Project of Easton and all the impact that it has throughout the community in so many different facets, but I'm wondering if you could help other listeners understand how can they make an impact, how can they be involved with Project, what are things coming down the line that are exciting that they can kind of help support.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you want to stay on the line while we talk about it, or do you want us to let you go and have Keith talk about it?
Oh, he can go talk about it. That's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for the question.
Thank you, Callie.
Ahead and answer that.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
So, well, we have a lot of, I'm excited for this question.
And it sounds like Callie is really a strong supporter of Project of Easton as well. So,
and she's from Easton. So our upcoming project is, we do have a big project. We were very fortunate, Lori, that at the end of last year, so the end of 2024, we received an anonymous challenge gift of $1 million.
Yay!
Yay! And we're all very excited about that. And what that allowed us to do is purchase a building on the south side of Easton. Currently, we're in the downtown at 320 Ferry Street. And this property is on Berwick Street in South Side. And it needs great renovations, a lot of renovations. But it has everything that we need, in as much as it's a solid building and it has what will be three distinct entrances. Obviously, we need a separate entrance for our early childhood education center, because that's the most secure for obvious reasons. And then we have our educational center, where people come and learn English as a second language, and
their GED
and literacy and all that. And then we have the food pantry.
So Which we haven't even talked about.
We haven't even talked about that yet, but that's a whole nother thing. And people can get involved by going to our website, projecteaston.org. And, you know, whether they decide to donate money towards this challenge gift, you know, I'm not overtly asking for money tonight, but that's one way that they can help, obviously, or they can come on a tour, you know, use my my telephone number. My direct line is 518-965-0190, and that comes directly to me. It will be answered within 24 hours, if not. Sometimes on a weekend, it might be 48 hours, but almost always within 24 hours. And I'll take people on a tour.
People can get involved either through the website, projecteaston.org, to look for opportunities for involvement through financial support, particularly with this challenge grant, or challenge donation, I should say. And that is obviously someone who is showing their commitment and support of all the services that you do. And when other people in the community, whether it's business leaders, community leaders, people like Callie who just call in and who just recognize the value that the programs provide, it inspires them to also get involved and financially when you can. And as I said at the Women United event, it's easy to give money. I know that doesn't sound like, some people will say it's not easy to give money, but from my perspective, it's easy to give money when you're not the one who has to do all the hard work, the legs and hands on the ground that your staff and your, you know, volunteers are doing. That's the hard work. That is really the hard work. And not everyone has the time or the ability to do that. So one way we can help support organizations that, you know, are doing these kinds of programs when we can is financial support. So
we have
ways to do that. And volunteers, I assume you always have too.
We couldn't do it without our volunteers. A huge shout out to our volunteers. And our volunteers include our board of directors. So I always like to make certain that we, you know, we're governed by our board of directors. We can have up to, I believe, 19, and we have about 16 or 17 right now. I can't remember. We just lost one retired. But we have volunteers that are working in our food pantry. We have volunteers that do tutoring all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you walked in.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that. I just realized we're at our break, so it's our last break. So I want to further talk about programs, as Callie had mentioned, about the $1 million contribution and then the food pantry. I want to make sure we do that. So, folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music, from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have with me Keith Lampum-Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton. And I have enjoyed talking with Keith and hearing about the program so much. I realize we have so much more we wanted to talk about. Let's see if we can get through some of the things that I wanted. You know, Callie had called and asked about some programs, and you had mentioned that I think the goal is to move into a bigger building that's going to be a little bit more conducive to the programs that you're running. Because when I had the tour, it's wonderful and you saw all the people, but we were going into a number of different buildings.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine in the winter or, you know, when the weather's bad, it's a little bit more difficult. And you keep trying to break down barriers for people. And if you can probably have one location, it would be a little bit easier, right, to have
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
the campaign itself is in the earliest stages, and we're doing things a bit backwards in as much as if you were creating a capital campaign, it wouldn't be created in the way that we're doing it. But that's okay. We can all pivot and learn. And when, you know, a building presents itself and an anonymous donor, by the way, we call this anonymous donor. This anonymous donor is so anonymous that even our board of directors doesn't know their identity, so we call the anonymous donor the entity.
Okay, great.
Makes
great.
Me laugh.
Welcome all anonymous donors.
Yes, and we've gotten some gifts already towards that challenge grant, but we've got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And the campaign is going to be, I'm happy to announce, a $6 million capital campaign. It will be called Expanding for Impact Under One Roof.
Oh, that's wonderful. Expanding for Impact Under One Roof. That's very nice.
I think each of those words means something.
Okay.
So we're excited about that.
Very good.
And I wanted to make certain that when you mentioned about giving is easy, for some of us, it is easy to write out a check and not have to go and volunteer or fill out paperwork or all this other stuff. But I wanted to make sure that you know that there's an array of ways to to give. Mm-hmm. You can, go to the Highmark Walk. The Highmark Walk is something where you just put a team together. We're looking for teams right now. If you would like to put together a team that just walks around, a track or a beautiful wooded area, you can do that. That's in June. That's coming up. We also have our signature event called Simply Savory. Mm-hmm. And that's like a gala type thing where, we have ours is a little unique. But this year, it will be the first year that it's at Green Pond Country Club.
Okay.
So we're excited about that.
So people buy tickets.
People buy
to
tickets.
That's the fundraiser part,
it's
I suppose.
The fundraiser part.
And then they go.
And they go and have a fun time. That's the fun part.
Yeah, but savory.
Simply Savory is about
food.
Food. So we have this year we'll have at least four vendors during the cocktail hour, and those are local known restaurants.
Okay.
They haven't been officially announced yet, but they're local known restaurants, and that's during the cocktail hour. And then we'll go in and have a seated dinner at the Green Pond Country Club. So we're excited about that. So that's a special event. The other special event is in the fall, and that's called Harvest Heroes.
Okay.
So we're trying to have something for everybody at each level of giving. Obviously, even at the Simply Savory event, we have corporate sponsors that can give anywhere from, $25,000, $15,000, $10,000, right on down. And
for
buy a table of eight.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Good to know. And all that information is on the website as well.
It will
well.
Be. That's okay. The save the date just is being published tomorrow.
Okay.
I forget.
Wonderful. Yeah. And that's projecteaston.org.
Yes,
Project
Lori. Perfect.
Easton.
And you're going to end up calling me KLP like everybody else because my name is too hard or too long or something.
Yeah, but it's nice because we can say it with emphasis and then people remember it.
Absolutely.
So wonderful. We've talked about, could you tell me again the name of your capital campaign? You called it Expanding?
Expanding for Impact, hyphen, I put dash.
For Impact,
under one roof. So eventually, it'll be, you know, years down the road, but because it's going to, I think it's going to take us, you know, 2 to 3 years to raise the funds to
expand, more anonymous entities with $1 million.
If only.
If I win the lottery.
I like the way you think, Lori.
Yes. So, and is there more information about the capital campaign on the website as well?
Not yet, because we're still in. We're, like I said, we're backwards, but we're in the capital. We're in the quiet phase, but it was officially announced, I believe, on the 14th. It was announced via live.
Just recently.
Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of
so
cool.
I'm excited that we kind of announced some of it here as well.
You certainly did. You announced it to a lot of people.
Into the awareness.
And I appreciate
here.
It.
I want to go back because we weren't able to touch on, I wanted to finish kind of going over some of the programs. And one of them was the food pantry. And then you also have an assist program for emergency support. So do you mind kind of touching base on those
Not at all.
Make sure we've covered all the programs that.
Like I told you, I moved here for the mission. And part of the mission is helping people help themselves. That's our entire mission. But and these are two of the important programs that we do. So the food pantry obviously is the most basic basic need on, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you will, or the most primal need, that and the shelter. But we have a choice food pantry. We used to be the only one in the Lehigh Valley. Now we're one of a few choice food pantries, which again, that's a dignity thing. And we haven't touched on dignity a lot this evening, but we're all about dignity and breaking down barriers. So the dignity of that comes, people come in and they're assigned a volunteer who walks about with them, and they select that which they would like to put in their bags, in their carriage, and they go around as if they're shopping. They are shopping, but it costs them nothing, obviously. And they pick up things and take it away.
But it's what they're choosing,
it's
not
what they're
someone
choosing.
Putting a box together for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Okay. And we have other programs. All the time we're thinking of different programs. Like right now we have a program where we're going into, there are a couple of areas where homeless people live. So we take bags to them.
Okay.
So we're proactively helping them as best we can. That includes, we have a type of tent, a very, very simple, simplistic type of tent that we can give them. And sleeping bags that will hopefully keep them warm on these cold nights. That's just unbelievable. But the food insecurity is something I arrive, I'm the early bird at the office. I love to go in early and make the coffee for everybody. And just kind of, it's my quiet hour or two. And when I arrive, sometimes as early as 6:30 in the morning, there's people waiting for our food pantry. And that food pantry doesn't open until 10.
Wow.
So that gives me pause, and it gives me passion to go in that door. I say good morning every morning to anybody that I pass, obviously. I hope it's obvious. And I go in, and I do my job, and no matter, you know, how much of my pile's growing of things to do, I say I'm going to get through it because I'm helping people. And I just drove by that in my warm, my heated seat.
Right.
I drove by someone standing outside 4 hours before our food pantry opens. That's just not right. So we're working to end that. And the other thing, you may have seen it the day when we have an open house, our last open house that we had, this is where people come and sign up for English as a second language or our GED. We had two guys, they just happened to be males, online at, I think it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, Lori. And they're online, and that didn't open until 10. You know, our office is open at 8:30, but, you know, these programs or the open house that opened at 10 o'clock, but people are so enthusiastic about signing up and being selected, being picked to take a, you know, it's almost like, you know, pulling the winning ticket for them. And that's how much what we do matters.
So you have people apply for some of these programs, and you more apply than you can accommodate at this point?
Oh, absolutely. We have a waiting list. We used to have a waiting list only for ESL. But right now, I was just confirmed today that we have a waiting list for ESL and GED. So we need to help these people. I feel we do.
And is the hope with the Expanding for Impact Under One Roof campaign, that with this one roof, you'll be able to accommodate perhaps
Absolutely.
More? Okay.
We're looking at an exponentially increased square footage,
okay,
which will enable us to have more classrooms. And, of course, that takes more teachers to fill the classrooms.
Right.
So the operating expenses will go up also. But we're not going to stop until we've met this need, mm-hmm, and, you know, helped people help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
So we still have a couple minutes left.
Great.
So I want to make sure that you have communicated a message that you want to convey to our listeners, those listeners being either people who could be potential volunteers, potential, mm-hmm, donors, or even, as I said at my Women United event, we have time, talent, and treasure.
Absolutely.
And I want to add another T, and that's telling. So time, talent, treasure, and telling others, mm-hmm, like Callie did in calling.
Yes.
And other people who are aware of the projects and aware of the programs.
Mm-hmm.
So our listeners could be potential donors, could be potential
volunteers,
could be potential students themselves,
mm-hmm,
or they could just tell people in the community, which could spread the word, because this isn't just Easton. I mean,
right,
it's not just Easton benefiting, meaning when
it's
even when
Lehigh
you
Valley.
Mentioned some of those other companies like St. Luke's or Victaulic, employers in the area are benefiting. So that, kind of has a, it's, mm-hmm, a spreading effect.
One thing that I think
you've got a couple minutes to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, one thing that I make certain that everybody who comes on a tour leaves knowing or remembering is that we have 7,000, as of the end of June, these are my numbers. Of course, you can tell I write grants sometimes. As of the end of June, we had 7,063 individuals under the Project of Cares service. So that's astounding to me.
Currently,
at one time, 7,063 individuals. That's right here in the Lehigh Valley. And I think that's impressive. That shocks most people.
Yeah.
Obviously, it includes the children that we serve also. But, mm-hmm, under our direct care, it's 7,063 individuals. So, mm-hmm, we're larger than people think.
Mm-hmm.
That did represent 41 different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting to me, too. And people can also realize that they don't have to speak Spanish or French or any other Russian or any other language to come and teach English as a second language or tutor in any of our subjects. You know, they can come and we can help them learn how to best tutor people,
okay,
in those areas.
Okay.
What other questions do you have, Lori?
Well,
I'm excited. I don't want to be out of time.
Well, we're going to have the website again. So the website is projecteaston.org.
Yes,
and lots of information available on the website.
Everything's on there. Click right through everything, including our special events.
Okay.
And volunteer application.
Okay. And your phone number again?
Let's give this number, 518-965-0190. That would be to get in touch with me directly.
Okay.
I'm happy to give that out. And like I said, I'll return calls within 24 hours. And the other number is 610-258-4361. And that's the official number for Project of Easton.
Okay. Keith, thank you so much for coming
in. The pleasure's been mine. I'm so excited to have met you and come to know you as a friend.
And I was so happy to be able to tour it myself. And again, a shout out to your staff. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. Super passionate people.
Because you have a heart for people.
Yeah. Well, best wishes on the campaign.
Thank you.
The Expanding for Impact Under One Roof, Project of Easton. Thank you, Keith Lampum-Perlman, Director of Development at Project of Easton. Thank you, Cindy, for being here. Thank you, Bridger. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, callers. Next week, I am going to have Tom Wolf of Wolf Agency to discuss understanding personal insurance options. Remember, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.